When Sister Hofländer was speaking to us, I couldn't help but think of another one of our ministers that has for a long time now gone to be with the Lord. He was his name was Frank Posta, and he was my uncle, and so I knew him when I was a little boy, and I hung out with him. He used to give me stuff. His wife tried to give me carrot juice all the time. I tried to avoid her like the plague, but no, she was really nice. She just every once in a while would slip me one of these juicy things, and a spoonful of sugar helped it out a whole lot, but didn't always have that opportunity either. Anyway, he told a story when he was young. He too. Now, he was, Sister Hofländer said, you know, little girls shouldn't talk like that. Neither should little boys. You know, I don't give the license to the boys to talk like truck drivers, because they grow up to be them. Sometimes the girls are worse than the boys, though. I agree with you. At least I find that today sometimes. But nobody should talk like that. But a lot of people do hear their mom and dad talk like that. Or they hear their friends talk like that. And, you know, you got to talk like that, otherwise you're not really cool. And so I took a class in school one time. This is college. This is the higher learning. This is where we get edumacated and really get to learn all the stuff that we'll never learn any place but college. And it was a communications class. I had no idea. I had no desire. I did not want to publicly learn to speak at all. And as some of you could tell, I've never really learned. But I never wanted to. But I took this class because why do you take some college classes? I don't know about you guys, but you know, this probably shows you where I am. I take classes or took classes that fit. What do I mean by fit? I didn't have to stay in school all day. I would never be there 8 o'clock in the morning for a class and have a 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Why? Take a class earlier on in the day, get your credits out of the way. CAS, Communication Arts and Science, fit. I took the class. And so we had to learn to speak and not be inhibited. You're afraid of your shadow. You're afraid to speak in front of people. So we're going to get you over your inhibitions. I said, oh, okay, that's a good thing, because I'm shy. I don't want to speak. I'd rather just sit in the corner and be by myself or talk to my four friends or something like that. So this is what we're going to do. And here's my professor, educated from I don't know what kind of university. And he said, what I'd like you to do is we're going to go around the room one at a time and everybody's going to curse. What? I know. I wasn't brought up that way. I never heard my dad say anything that wasn't that way, or like that. I never heard my mom do that either. They didn't talk like that. And I had uncles too. I had Uncle Frank Posta, the pastor I just referred to, and Uncle Edwin. I never heard Uncle Edwin curse. It's almost funny to think of these men and women of God saying things like that. And here I am. Now we're going to start with you. Well, it wasn't me that they were starting with. Fortunately, they were starting on this side of the room. And so they were starting to go around the room. You can curse in any language you want. And so I'm sitting there listening to all my classmates curse. I was on this side of the room. The door was on that side of the room. Before too long, I was out the door. I don't know what it would have. I should have gotten up and said, "Praise the Lord." But I never would have done that. But I knew I wasn't going to curse either. So what was I going to do? I ran for it. I ran to the office and I dropped the class. I never went back to that place. There are classes that could be dropped and should be dropped, and maybe you've been in one of those too. I don't know. I know some of my family members have been in classes like that. But anyway, Brother Frank, he learned it. I don't know where he learned it. From the streets, from who, I don't know who. But then he got saved. And when he got saved, his vocabulary changed. Everything changes. We said last night that, what is it that we said last night, to see if anybody was remembering? That what is the temple of the Holy Ghost?
The body, your body.
And I remember saying last night, it's not just my spirit or my soul, it's not just the unseen, but the Lord, He purchased my body. And part of my body is my tongue. And when Jesus purchases us, He gets a hold of our hands and our feet and our everything else, including our mouths and our tongue. Now, the tongue, the Bible says, is an unruly member. Nobody can tame the tongue. You can do a lot with it, but nobody can tame that thing. That's an unruly member. It's set on fire of hell. And it's not just four-letter words, or you can maybe think of five or six or seven-letter ones, but it's not just curse words, but the tongue sometimes is used in a way that it shouldn't be used. Can anybody think of any other way besides cursing where the tongue can be used in a way that it shouldn't be used? What else can you do with your mouth that you shouldn't, besides eat too much?
Insulting people.
Gossip.
Lying. Yeah.
The Bible says you don't use the Lord's name in vain.
Okay.
Now, if you say that and you're it's a prayer in your mind or praise, then it's okay.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Brother Peter. We don't want to take the Lord's name in vain. That's a precious name, a holy name. And we don't want to use it in a derogatory way or just because you hit your finger or caught it in the door. God's name is not to be used that way. And we're not supposed to lie or slander or gossip or
criticize.
Thank you, Sister Dorothy. Anybody else got anything else? Insulting, somebody said, right? But it's the truth. You don't always have to tell the truth. I mean, you do always have to tell the truth, but you don't always have to tell it out loud. You know, I mean, you don't have to walk up to people and tell them the truth. Tell them something nice instead of use your mouth to. How could we use our mouths instead of the ways that you've just heard you shouldn't use your mouth? What can we do with our tongues?
Praise the Lord.
We can praise the Lord. We could
encourage.
Edify,
build up,
admonish, help out, speak a word instant in season, give to every man a reason for the hope. You do that with your mouth. The kids were telling us that last night in the meeting. So there's so much that goes on in these mouths of ours. Well, Brother Frank got saved, but it took a little while for his mouth to catch up. He belonged to Jesus. You ever have that with something in you too? I'm sure you have. You find the Lord, you love the Lord, you want to serve the Lord, but you're rusty, you got to catch up. You've got to be sanctified. Now, we've talked about that with Gideon. He gave his life, poured it all out, but yet he needed to cut down the altars, the Asherah poles and the Baal things. Got to get rid of, clean everything up. And sometimes that doesn't take overnight. Well, Brother Frank was working on it. He was just a boy at the time. He wasn't a pastor or a minister. He was just a boy. Growing up, where did he grow up? Was it Waukegan or Kenosha? Kenosha, Wisconsin. It's far away from Waukegan. Okay, he's growing up there, and his friends had heard that he had gone to church now. And so they went outside the church that he was. And you know, I don't know what your churches are like, but at that church and in some of our churches, like tonight, imagine if your friends were outside and they heard people going, "Praise the Lord!" But what did somebody tell us? I forgot what meeting it was. One meeting blends into the other up here. You seem to always be in a meeting. But somebody said, "People think you're nuts." They came in. Was it you? She came into the first time Sister Monica came into the Pentecostal meeting. Remember what she said? I thought these people were a little too loose, wrapped, not too tight up there upstairs. They're nuts. Well, because they're just praising the Lord. They got their hands up. What's up there? What are they doing with their hands up? Well, if you're here last year, we talked about what we're doing with our hands up and so on and so on. We need to praise the Lord. We need to learn to praise. Well, Brother Frank, he had his friends outside, his teenage friends, and they listened to this. So meeting ended, and he goes outside, and guess who's across the street? His friends. And guess what they start to do?
Tease him.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And so he said he got so angry. That's another thing I guess you're not supposed to get. But he got so angry. And he looked at them and he said, "Yeah." And this is his testimony. This is what he says. It got this far. Got this far. That's as far as it got. And it never came out of my mouth. And it's never come out of my mouth since that time. But you know what came out instead? A lot since that time? A lot of praise the Lord's. A lot of hallelujahs. A lot of thank you, Jesus. Because that's the transformation that Sister Hofleder was talking about. He makes us new creations. And he starts with our hearts, and he gives us a new heart, but then he keeps on working, and he gives you a new set of hands. And so you don't smack around everybody anymore, and you don't use them to traffic in the things you used to. Now your hands are different. Now you use them to help people. You use them to help a brother or a sister along. You use them for the kingdom of God and the glory of God. Your feet, he gives you a new set of feet. You used to always go that way, but now there's something pulling you the other way. And you find out that you're not going that way anymore. You're walking a new path. Not just spiritually, but literally, physically. You're walking down a different block. You're going to different places. You used to go there every Saturday, but I'm not going there anymore. My feet are taking me to a different location. Why? Because I'm saved. And because it's not just my heart that got saved, but I got saved through and through, because my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And sometimes one of the most difficult things the Lord has to get a hold of is our tongue. I don't know if anybody agrees with me. Maybe it's not that way with you, but I think I've noticed in a lot of people and myself, it's a little job sometimes. You ever say things you shouldn't say? I mean, I alluded to the honeymooners this morning. Some of you don't know who I'm talking about, I don't think, but some of you maybe do. I think Julia might, because she just smiled. And I got a... Okay, some of you know, yeah, you remember? I got a big mouth, or you're a blabber mouth. Sometimes we're still a blabber mouth, and we got a big mouth. And we got to give everybody the last piece of our mind. We have no mind left, we just gave it out. And we got to just keep on. But the Lord wants to change our mouths. He wants to change our tongues. He wants to put different kind of words in there, where those other things don't come out anymore. And yes, absolutely, it starts with your heart. Absolutely. It starts with a changed heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But sometimes these things are ingrained in us. They're just habits. That's always what I said when I hit my finger with the hammer. It's always what I said when this happened, when I heard things that went wrong. Oh, when things don't go right, I always say I take the name of the Lord in vain. I don't mean to do anything wrong, but it's just the way it is. But then something changes. And little by little, maybe large portions at times, he begins to clean up our mouths. And one of the things that he does, the psalmist puts it, I mean, better than I could ever put it, Psalm 40. The psalmist says, he took me out of the miry clay. He took me out of that muck and that dirt and that I was in. He put me on a rock, Christ Jesus, the solid rock. He put me on a rock. And then the next verse, I mean, it's so plain and so clear. He put a new song in my mouth. Well, that's what Jesus does. He takes the old song out. I don't know what songs you go around singing. I don't know what you listen to. I don't know what songs you like to sing. And there are some songs that are, you know, they're probably not that bad. And there are probably songs that probably are worse than that. But, you know, I find there are a lot of better songs to sing. Why would I ever want to sing Frank Sinatra's Top 20? Or why would I ever want to sing the Rolling Stones? Now, you don't know who that is either. Why in the world would I ever want to sing anything that Madonna ever wrote? Or that Lady Gaga? Why would I want to ever do that? First of all, I don't have a whole lot of respect for any of those that I've just mentioned. Second of all, a lot of what they write, I would never want to go near with a 10-foot pole. Thirdly, even if it's not, it's pretty, it's a ballad, it's beautiful, it's wonderful. Yeah, but I got a better song. Hallelujah, 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 bup, bup, bup. And you can take the rest, because I can't get up there anymore. But that's a better song. And when he takes you out of the old and he puts you into the new, he puts a new song. Oh, you know, they sing hymns. They sang them in the Bible. Jesus sang hymns. Before they went out near the end of Jesus' life, they sang a hymn. What song did they sing? It was probably in our Pilgrim Camp book. That's about how old some of these songs are. But, you know, it's not bad to learn those songs from the Pilgrim Camp book. I almost said to you this morning, and I won't say it to you this morning because I didn't, so I couldn't, but I'll say it to you tonight. You know that song that we prayed at the end? Oh, Jesus, I have promised. That's not a bad idea for everybody to memorize that song. And 100 others. Because in those songs, there's some theology, there's some doctrine, there's some truth, and maybe you've noticed this, that in those songs, there's the presence of God. In the hymns. It doesn't have to be a hymn written 3,000 years ago or 100 years ago. I'm sure there's a blessing in many of the modern songs that are sung, Christian songs that worship God, and we sing them, and maybe you do too sometimes. And I go visit different churches and places, and I don't even know these songs, but I appreciate them. and I have people singing them, and I listen to them, and then I learn to sing them, and I can't sing them at home because I don't know them well enough sometimes. But they're beautiful songs. They worship the Lord. They exalt Him, and they sing from their hearts. It doesn't have to be a hymn. It doesn't have to be from the Pilgrim Camp Book, but there's such blessing in singing. And just singing unto the Lord, just worshiping Him in song. And when He gets into our hearts and He begins to take over our mouths, you begin to sing. You begin to worship. A.W. Tozer said, "I really doubt anybody's conversion experience who doesn't like to sing." Now, you think, where does he get that from? That's audacity. He gets it from the Bible. Because when the Lord says He takes you out of the miry clay, He puts you on that solid rock, and He puts a new song into your mouth. Even praise unto our God, and many other people see it and hear, and they come to trust in the Lord. And I'm so thankful. I'm thankful that I can sing. I never sang well. Brother Peter was here last night. And when I was, you know, he's younger than I am, but not by 100 years. Not as much of a difference between me and you or whatever. But I remember when I was going to Ridgewood, that's where I grew up part of my life. And I remember they have a choir there. I don't do choir. I don't know how to sing. I don't know how to sing parts. And it's a little embarrassing when you're a male, I am, and it's a little embarrassing when you get into the choir and what part do you sing? Well, I sing the melody. Well, you could sit up here with all the girls if you want to. Well, I didn't want to do that, and they didn't want me to either. And so where am I going to sing? Well, you can sing tenor or bass. Those are your two choices. That's where all the big guys are in the back. I don't know how to read tenor. I don't know how to sing tenor. I don't know how to read bass. I don't do tenor bass. So I stayed away from the choir a little bit until one day they kind of forced me. You got to. Everybody does. Why don't you? I would stand next to Brother Peter. Brother Peter, he could sing bass. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
And he can do it well. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I would just stand next to him. He would sing the note. I would sing it right after him. I was always a note late. But sometimes the bass note stayed the same for three or four in a row, and I got a few. It was good. And after a little while, I actually learned, standing next to... I know him as Billy Canalp. You know him as Dr. Canalp. Maybe you know him as Bill. But he stood on one side, and he's the same as Brother Peter, and I was like stuck like between two pieces of bread. I was the peanut butter in the middle, and I learned to sing. I never learned well. I never learned to sing like they could sing, but I was glad that I did. Just to express my thanks to God in song. What a blessing. What a real blessing that is. But one more thing yet, and that's, you don't even need a hymn book or a song book or a modern chorus or, I don't know if I did it here or not, maybe I did, but I saw Louis Giglio once give this as an illustration, and it impressed me, and I know I took it with me to California a couple times. You know, he had some cards, some Valentine's Day cards. Anybody here ever like to get a Valentine's Day card? Maybe I'm looking in the wrong direction. Does anybody here like to get a... Oh, never. Anybody here like to get a Valentine? Yeah, you like to get a Valentine. And so he had these cards there. And he took one out. It was a nice card. Beautiful card. Beautiful. Who's the lady that writes those? Helen Steiner? Rice. Okay. She wrote a poem on there. I don't know what it's... I pressed a kiss to her lips. I could not help but linger. But as I waved my hand through her hair, a cootie bit my finger. Or whatever it was. Some little saying on the... Some little nice saying on the front of it. And then inside, another little poem in there that only Helen Steiner Rice could write and concoct. And, of course, then you'd sign your name on the bottom. All my love, Fred, or whatever you are. And so he said that cost you $5.95 at Hallmark. You can get that card, beautiful card. Or they had this card, and he picked up another one, and here's another one, and it was much different than the first one. It was a kind of comical, funny looking one, and it wasn't at all flowery or Helen Steiner Rice style. It was a lot differently. How much do I love you? And you open it up and the arms pop out, this much, one of those kind. And you can get that for you. That cost $6.95. And then he had another one. It was made out of a piece of paper like this, 8.5 by 11. And the poor guy, he tried to write straight to his girlfriend, and he tried to write a nice thing, and he tried to draw a picture on the front of it, and then he opened it up, and inside he just wrote something corny, which they're all corny. You got to admit that they're all. Make your own. Well, anyway, he'd write it out, and he'd write something nice, and thank you for your love for me, and I'm glad that, you know, next month we can get married, and okay, God bless us both, and he held that one up, and then he took a vote, and in the audience, he said, now, how many of you, if you are receiving a Valentine, how many of you would like to receive this one? And he held the Helen Steiner Writes one. Nobody raised their hand. Nobody wanted that card. But this is, you know, they make big money out for these cards. This don't you want? No. You know where I'm going with this, so I'll make it short like Sister Hofflander. I'll make my long story short. He picked up the second one with the arms that popped out. How many would you like to receive this one? Well, maybe one person raised their hand. They'd like that one. And then he took out this pathetic-looking Crayola crayons, you know, all over, not straight handwriting and penmanship, but it was personal. It was personal from him to her. And he said, how many of you would like to get this one? Frank says, yes. Joni, you know what to get him now. Yeah. And everybody's hand went up. All the young girls, everybody wanted that one. They wanted that person. And then he said, you know what? You can sing songs. They're nice. It's nice to take the sentiments of whoever you like, Fanny Crosby. She writes beautiful hymns. And as I said before, I love to sing Fanny Crosby songs. I love to sing It Is Well With My Soul. I love to sing Like a River Glorious, and we can go on all night in the songs I love to sing, and you love to sing, and we got books filled with these beautiful songs. But there's a song that I maybe think Jesus even likes more than those, if I could say that. I think he likes the one where you just make it up yourself. And maybe just right out of your heart, not out of Newell's heart or out of Havergal's heart or out of some other beautiful literary poem that's been put to music. But maybe he just likes to hear every once in a while, or maybe more than once in a while, I love you, Jesus. I love you with all my heart. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I worship you, Jesus. You're precious to me. I love you, Jesus. I think he likes that. What do you think? I don't know. I think he likes to get a card like that or a song like that from the hearts of those that he's redeemed with his precious blood, who've appreciated his redemption and the price that he paid, and they just want to return thanks. With spiritual songs, singing and making melody in their hearts to the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You know, I don't think he would mind this at all. I don't think he'd mind this at all. But some of you know Brother Steve Norbeck. His daughter Rebecca, well, Steve was on staff earlier in the year, and Becky was up here for, I guess, a month. I think she was here. And Brother Steve, he got saved. He didn't always talk too well before, but he got saved. And you know what else got saved when he got saved? Not just his heart, not just his soul. Every part of him got saved. So did his mouth. So did his tongue. And after a while, I don't know if it was a month or two or three or whatever it was, but he came to me and he said, Brother Ernie, I need a songbook. Where can I get me a songbook? And so I gave him one, an old hymnal that we had around the church. No, I know, I need four of them. I said, you need four? You need four books, same book? Yeah, we're going to sing. And so he'd bring four hymn books he took off of me. And he got them in his house, and I was in his house not too long ago, right before I came to camp. And I saw four hymn books on the shelf, front and center. Well, not all of his kids are still in the home. Two of them are married, and Becky's still there, and his wife. But Steve loves to sing. He loves to sing. And every once in a while, you know, he can't sing. He can't sing well. He can't hold a tune well. He's never been trained to sing well. But every once in a while, he'll sit so far in the back of the church, three rows from the back or four, and I'm all the way in the front of the platform, and all of a sudden I'll hear from way back there, I'll hear somebody go, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is..." And he's looking at me with these pleading eyes like, "Help me, brother." Sister Shelley last night said, "Brothers and sisters, help me sing, I surrender all." Brother Steve never waits for that. He just starts going for it. "Come on." And we sing. But you know, he's always a blessing. He's always a blessing because he sings from his heart. And so don't give me this baloney, "Oh, I don't have a good voice." Anybody remember Eugene Rosario? "Praise the Lord. Hallelujah." He was the loudest guy in the church. And he was one tone when everybody worshiped the Lord and everybody's fitting in and praising the Lord and it sounds beautiful and melodic and I hope the Lord's enjoying it. And in the middle of it all is, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." I mean, I noticed there was like a wide circle. Nobody would go near him or want to sit near him. It's a little difficult. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." The NIV says, "Shout for joy." Shout. Did you ever shout? No, don't do that. You wake up the person. No. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It's he that has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." How'd you come in here tonight? Grumping, groaning, moaning, fuming, cursing? No! God forbid, he's got a hold of my mouth. And I come into his presence with thanksgiving. I come into his courts with
praise.
Have you said praise the Lord yet tonight?
Praise the Lord.
Is that your first time, Devin? Okay. Yeah, that's the way you come in. That's not the way you only go out. Well, at first I got to be pumped. Got to prime me, and you got to make sure. I was in a meeting, I hate this. I don't hate it. But I was in a meeting, okay, now everybody say praise the Lord three times. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Now say, oh, everybody say hallelujah. Okay, that's good in its place. But, you know, I'd rather just come into a place, and you come into a place, and without anybody saying, you say praise the Lord, and you say hallelujah, let's all say it three times. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, let's say Jesus is good, God is good, Jesus is good, God is good. Just open up your heart, and just you and him, just have a little sing fest. And, yeah, him and you, because I got to stop now, make my long story short. We got a problem along this line, don't we? There's a little verse in Zephaniah. It says, this is what it says. He, God, joys over his people with singing. Now, I don't think that means that he's in heaven and he's looking down at us and he's singing. But I really think that has something to do with he gives to his people. He puts within our mouth. He puts within our hearts his praise, the high-sounding praises of God in our lips. That makes the difference. It makes all the difference if you have a room full of people all saying at the same time, chanting, "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise." It makes an altogether difference when he, by his spirit and by his presence, comes upon a heart, a life, and they begin to respond, and he joys over his people with singing. And they begin to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And they praise the Lord and they honor him. And it might be just a noise, it's a joyful noise. And they've come into his presence with thankful hearts because of his goodness, his mercy, and his truth. It says at the end of that Psalm 100, if you don't know the psalm, his truth endures to all generations. I got scared but blessed when I came in tonight and was sitting here. And here's Isaac on my left and Matthew across. These are my son-in-laws. I didn't get scared or intimidated. I was blessed and thankful. All generations. And then there's Jesse and Emily and Audrey. And then there's another generation and another generation. And God's gracious and goodness and mercy will continue to all generations. And you know what that makes me want to say? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I thank you for what you've done and for what you're doing and for what you will yet do. So as we leave tonight, and we have to, let's leave rejoicing. Let's leave singing. And when you get back tomorrow to the meeting, let's enter into his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him. And if it hasn't gotten from your heart to your mouth, say, Lord, help me, Lord. Lord, change the way that I speak. I can't. I can't help myself, but you can change me. You can make me a new creation. And he will. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for what you will continue to do. Lord, what else are we going to say? But thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Lord, I only have one, but help me to use it to give thanks to you all day long. For your mercy and your gracious goodness, it continues forever. Now, Lord, bless us this evening. Bless us the rest of the night. We pray that your presence will be with us and your song will resonate within our hearts, Lord, all through the evening and all through the morrow and all through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before you guests, before the guests leave, and I ask you to do this, leave fast. I'm already 3 minutes over time, and there's a staff meeting that follows right now. So they'd ask, and if we would vacate, the guests vacate. And guests, we're going to have should be a fire down on the beach. And I invite you to come down there to sit around the fire, and I have some graham crackers and Hershey bars and marshmallows. Guests. And so you're welcome to join us down there for a little while together tonight. Staff, you got your own stuff to deal with. But after you deal with whatever you got to deal with, you also have, you're going to have a nice time afterwards, I'm pretty sure. And so God bless you all. Have a wonderful night. And see you down, I hope, down by the beach.